to Jonah, chapter 1. It's a little harder to go through a book in Sunday school because it's a little chopped up, but I'm going to do my best. When you go through Proverbs or Psalm 119 or even Psalms, each verse a lot of times is a message unto itself. But when we go through a book of the Bible like John, that's something that I have to do every Sunday night, you know, to keep the continuity. And with Jonah, it's a little harder because our Sunday school is a little bit more broken up because of our singing, our prayer time, our devotional. And I don't speak quite as long in Sunday school. But we're going to go to Jonah chapter 1, and just for way of refreshment. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me." We've already covered those verses. But I want to emphasize that God's word came directly to Jonah with a specific message to go to a specific place to cry against the wickedness of what was then one of the most powerful cities in the entire known world. And God said to go there, to this Gentile city. Well, verse 3. "But Jonah." You know, when it starts out right after a command, and the next verse says, "But," it's telling you that right off the bat here, Jonah is not going to obey God of his own volition. People talk about free will all the time. Jonah's free will took him to the bottom of the ocean, in the belly of a whale. It was God's will that overpowered the rebellious will of Jonah and made him go, made him willing in the day of his power, made him go to Nineveh. But Jonah, like I remember Wilbur Ellis, or Wilbur Johnson, preaching, said Jonah had to go to Whale Tech for an education and learn something there. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarsus from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's stated twice in verse 3 for emphasis. Jonah wanted to go as far away as he could from where he was supposed to go. He wanted to get away from what he wanted to get away from the presence of the Lord. You can't do that. God is omnipresent. I do believe that he ran from the what I call the special presence of the Lord, where he was in fellowship with God. But he set out to go to Tarshish, which was an ancient city on the coast of Spain, far west of Israel. He was commanded to go to Nineveh, the chief metropolis of the Gentile world in his day, but instead he set his heart to go as far away from that place as he possibly could. To give you an idea how far away Jonah determined to go from where he was supposed to go, consider this. Tarshish was approximately 2,550 miles west of Joppa. Nineveh was 550 miles northeast of Joppa. So you kind of put those two things together, and he went about 3,100 miles out of his way before finally arriving in Nineveh. And God had to send a special ship to get him. A whale or a great fish. Now the reason why Jonah wanted to go to Tarshish is recorded twice in verse 3. It stated he wanted to flee from the presence of the Lord. Now Jonah was no heathen. I'm sure as a prophet of God, he understood the doctrine of God's omnipresence. There is no man who can escape the presence of God or hide from his divine eyesight. The psalmist said it so eloquently in Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. Jonah, as a Hebrew prophet, I'm assuming was somewhat familiar with Psalm 139. He wanted to flee from the place where God was manifesting His glory and revealing His will in that day, which was in the land of Israel. The symbol of God's divine presence was in the ark where the Shekinah glory of God dwelt. Israel was the land where God had chosen to reveal Himself unto His people. And Jonah wanted to get as far away from the divine presence and manifestations of His glory as far away as he could. So he went down to Joppa. He found a ship that was going to Tarshish. And from here on out, Jonah will be found going in a downward course. He went down to Joppa. He went down into the ship that was going to Tarshish, down into the depth of the sea, down into the belly of the whale. Jonah's backslidden and disobedient condition took him about as far down as a man can go. It's always the course sin takes a man or a woman. Sin always takes people farther than they want to go and keeps them longer than they want to stay. It is a reality. You know, I think the life of Jonah and his actions represent a lot of what's going on in Christianity today. People don't want the presence and the power of God. They don't want preaching where the preacher gets up, reads a verse of Scripture, explains it, tells the meaning of it, and applies it and urges people to live by it or correct their lives. I've said all along, preaching is not just informational. It should always be aimed at being transformational. But in order to do that, you got to explain what the Word says. John brought an appropriate devotion today. I fear that a lot of preachers today are just telling their opinions. They're making stuff up. They're talking dreamers and all these other things. I have a new word. God revealed something to me. God has revealed His word. We don't need anything else. We don't need a personal opinion. We need what the truth of the Word of God states. People don't want that. And they're fleeing those kind of churches where somebody actually preaches the Bible and applies it. A lot of religiosity in our day, with no real clinging to Christ, clinging to the Word of the living God. I don't want to be a part of a church that is fleeing their responsibility to preach the gospel to every creature. Now, as I read this, I thought it was interesting that when Jonah went down to Tarshish, or went down to Joppa, he found a ship going to Tarshish. It's like he's saying to himself, I want to go to Tarshish. I'm not going to go to Nineveh. And lo and behold, when he gets to Joppa, hey, look, God must have provided this for me. It seems as though providence favored Jonah's design. The ready way is not always the right way. Things are not always as they appear. Jonah, by the fact that God permitted him to get on that ship to Tarshish, he presumed that this was the providence of God, that this was God's will. Jonah thought he was going to escape God's divinely appointed plan. But God knew full well what Jonah had in mind. And I'm sure it was a huge surprise for the backslidden prophet. Jonah was attempting the impossible, because no man can escape God's appointments, try as they may. Jonah thought he was going to run away from what God had ordained him to do. It's impossible. Out of all the people in the Bible, Jonah serves as an illustration. God always gets His man, and He always gets His way. Ultimately, no one can attempt to thwart God's purpose without suffering the chastisement of God. Think about this. Jonah paid good money to go to Tarshish, and he wasted it. He paid the fare. When you get out of sorts with God, it is going to cost you. And the sad thing is, what it cost you, you may never regain. Jonah paid the fare to Tarshish without knowing just how high a price he would have to pay for his disobedience. I mean, if somebody would have sat him down and said, "Now, if you don't go to Nineveh, you know what's going to happen, right? You're going to get on board a ship. There's going to be a hurricane at sea, a tsunami, if you will, and they're going to throw you overboard. And when you go overboard in the churning of that sea, a big fish is going to swallow you. And you're going to be in the belly of that great fish for 3 days. And then he's going to spit you out." Do you think if Jonah thought that was remotely possible, that he would have ever gone through with what he was about to do? But you know, God doesn't tell us everything. He just tells us, "This is the way. Walk ye in it." I like what H.A. Ironside said. "Oh, that we all might lay this to heart. The path of the one who acts in self-will is always a downward one. Let the profession be what it may. One may boast of acting for God and talk of having his approval. But if self is served instead of Christ, the feet will soon slide, and the steps will be down, 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 till humble and repentant, the soul turns back to God and is ready to own the wrong of its behavior." Now, I want to give some practical applications of these three verses that we've covered thus far. I fear that many Christians and churches are modern-day Jonas. We have a command to take the message of repentance to the heathen. But rather than obey the revealed will of God, we choose to serve our own lusts and self-will. Let us learn from the account of Jonah that disobedience to God's word does not pay, but rather brings great suffering and hardship. Number two, from these verses we see that God sees all the wickedness of all the cities of the world. He knows all about the individual sins of all the inhabitants of the world. No one can escape his all-seeing eye or his inflexible justice. No one can sin against God and ultimately get away with it. Thirdly, men are not robots. Even a God-called prophet like Jonah can disobey the revealed will of God. And if you're now traveling the road of disobedience and defiance of God's commands, you can expect the corrective discipline of God if you are truly one of his children. If you're without chastisement, the Bible says you're bastards and not sons, meaning you're illegitimate. Do not try to hide your sinful, rebellious behavior behind the doctrine of God's sovereign decrees. God is absolutely sovereign, but you are absolutely responsible to obey all of his commands cheerfully and promptly. Failure to do so will bring much unhappiness, guilt, and difficulty into your life. I realize preachers don't talk that frank anymore, but I'm here to tell you Jonah is a living, breathing example. And lastly, as we ponder these verses, may we all take a solemn look at our lives. Are we following the path of disobedience and rebellion marked out by this runaway prophet? If so, may God grant us the grace to get out of the ship of disobedience that Jonah was on and go no further from our post of duty. May our feet be firmly planted on the path of obedience, so that we can say with the psalmist, I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. Psalm 119 and verse 32. God bless you.